The way you approach the first four needs will determine whether you're totally fulfilled in the last two. The last two are these. The fifth need is the need to grow. We all must grow. Everything in life is either growing or dying. There is no in between. If the law of life is everything must serve a purpose. And if you aren't serving a purpose, you're out of here. And when you die, your body will serve a purpose because it'll turn into dust that something else can grow from. The law of life has got to grow. So everybody's got to grow. And we are not happy unless we're growing as people, period. There's no way around it. I don't care how much you've achieved. I don't care how many people think you're wonderful. I don't care how much you have in your life. Growth is it. And if you doubt it, look at people who are the best in the world at what they do, who everyone else seems to admire, but they're not happy. I can tell you why they're not happy. They stop growing. That's why you got to always, no matter what standard you've achieved, you got to always have a high standard for yourself. You got to know the next level is right around the corner and you got to keep going for it because growth equals life. And then the sixth need is the need to contribute, the need to go beyond yourself. These two are the primary essential needs of life because they're the laws of life. Everything in life must grow. Everything in life must contribute in some way or it's out of here, right? It's eliminated. That's the way life works. Everything must serve a higher purpose. Everything must ultimately serve the greater good, not just itself, or it will not last, including you. So think about this. Aren't you most happy when you know you've done the right thing? In every one of my business seminars, I always end the seminar. We spent the whole day, and people usually attracted because they want to come learn strategic influence, these skills that they can use in their businesses to be more effective, immediately be more successful in negotiation or persuasion or influence or selling. So they're drawn because they think by this vehicle, they can have more certainty in their life. They'll be able to have the money that they think will give them certainty because they'll be more successful in business transactions. Or they're there because they want some variety from their day-to-day life. They go, this seminar, it'll be fun, it'll be stimulating. This crazy guy Robbins, I know he'll get me going. Or they're there because they think it'll make them more significant because with that success will come significance. Or they think if they can influence more, it'll connect them to people. But I got to tell you something. At the end of the seminar, I always tell people, you can do all these things. You can be the most influential person. But you are not going to be happy unless you contribute beyond yourself, unless you do something, not because you gain from it, just because it is right, because it is good. And I know you've done that. There's a great little book out that came out years ago called Random Acts of Kindness. It talks about just doing something where you're not, no one knows you did it. You're not doing it to be acknowledged. You're just doing it because it's a great thing to do. And that's a wonderful feeling. I think it's one of the richest feelings a human being can have. So if these are our six human needs, if these are our six goals, then what have we learned? Here's what we learned. First of all, you can meet these first four needs in destructive ways and thereby feel a little fulfilled just enough that you're really not happy, but you're not dissatisfied enough to change, and you will not be fulfilled because you won't grow and contribute, which are the ultimate primary essential needs. So for example, you could get certainty in your life by controlling everybody. And on a 0 to 10 scale, maybe that feels like level 3 of pleasure, of fulfillment. You might get variety by doing drugs at level 3 or 4 of fulfillment. You follow me emotionally? And then if you go to significance, you might do it by tearing everybody else down, therefore making yourself feel more significant. That might give you a 3 or 4. And you could have connection and love by, you know, getting sympathy all the time or being demanding and noticing that people are responding to you and then calling that love, which it isn't. But you know what? These approaches will not cause you to grow. They will not cause you to contribute, and therefore you will not be fulfilled. And that's a pretty scary place in life. When you're doing all the things you think you're supposed to do and you're achieving it all, and you're still not fulfilled. Now you'll know why. These same six human needs, by the way, are the needs you have to meet with someone you're negotiating with in business, as an example. I mean, if you want to make sure the people of your company are incredibly inspired, then help them to see how they can meet all six of their needs through their job, because if they do, they'll be there at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. I mean, if you come to Robbins Research, there's a rather unique situation there. You show up at our company at 8 o'clock at night and there's all these people there and they got in there at 8 in the morning or 7:30 or 6:30. But you know what? No one's asking them to. They're not there on overtime. They're there because they love what they do so much. It's just so fulfilling. Some companies, people go off to their bowling league afterwards because their bowling league is giving them more fulfillment than their job. See, in the bowling league, maybe they feel more connected, for example. Or maybe they feel more important and significant as a player, but at work, no one makes them feel significant. So you wonder why they work harder at bowling or softball or whatever else they're involved in their local community service than they do at your work. If your work is about contribution to people's lives, maybe they won't be looking for another vehicle. Maybe that vehicle itself will be so powerful and riveting, you'll see a transformation to peak performance. Remember what I've said to you here. that whenever someone's at peak performance, it's because they believe their six human needs are being met. And as long as they feel that sense they're being met, they are driven. They don't need to be pushed. You don't need to get leverage and say, well, I'll give you a little bonus if you'll do that. They do it because it's fulfilling. That's the ultimate drive. Somebody sues a person. Very often somebody sues a person. It's not about money. They know they can't win the lawsuit. But what they've done is, boy, I'm significant. You don't think I'm significant? I'll sue you. I'll show you how significant I am. And also now I'm connected to you, whether you like it or not. It's interesting how often people go through a lawsuit, and it's because somebody feels mad, they feel hurt. So it's the only way they feel certain that they can get a sense of significance and connection, even if they lose. Because I can never understand why some people would sue somebody knowing they didn't have a chance of winning. It's an interesting process. Or I'll give you a positive example from our business. We're in a very exciting time. Because for years I've said, there's got to be a way to reach even more people. And I've certainly done that through tapes. We've had 25 million of these things distributed worldwide. You know, we've certainly done that by way of travel. I'll be in 9 countries to give you an idea in the next 90 days. But I said, you know what? I'm going to burn out doing that. You know, I keep doing bigger seminars, reaching more people. Books, tapes help me to reach people without being there. But there is nothing, nothing as powerful with Power Talk, as good as I feel about this, as being in the presence of a person who's coaching you. The reason is because they can see you. They can give you feedback. And plus, there are no distractions. It's not like, you know, you're in your car and then the phone rings, or you're at home and then there's a distraction that occurs there. Somebody interrupts it, or it's mealtime. When you're at a seminar, it is total concentration of power. You are living it. And there's a big difference between that and running off and doing something a little time or two. So that's why I still do them. But the problem, of course, is, you know, getting to them, time, et cetera. So we are reinventing entertainment and education. Because my goal is to create a revolution in entertainment and education. Because you know what? Education is boring for most people. And we make it active and playful. And you know what? Entertainment is usually an empty calorie. You know, it feels good for the moment, but it doesn't serve you long term. And so that's the process that we're doing. But I'll tell you, when I walk into a date with destiny and I look around, I know before I walk in the room with total certainty that I can help anybody there make the changes they want if they're committed to it. Not because I'm such a genius, but because I've been with 1 million people from 42 nations. You don't have to be a genius. I know, I've dealt with virtually everything that exists. There aren't that many problems human beings have. There are all these offshoots, different stories. It's the same issue. It's same ways of dealing with it. It's easy. Now it's just art, because what I have is a total sense of variety. Every time I do it differently, every seminar is different. It's fun, the art of figuring out how to turn around and do it elegantly and playfully. Not only turn somebody around, but make it fun for them so it's not painful, and make it something that totally entertains your audience. We're not in an information age. We're in an entertainment age. People want to be entertained and educated. They don't want to be educated first. This edutainment term, I think it's absurd. I said, you know, I get total variety, total stimulation. So does my audience. They feel total pleasure. They're laughing. They're having fun. They're certain it's going to feel good. They have unbelievable variety. They never know what I'm going to do next. They never know what's going to occur. So their needs are being met. My needs are being met. Significance, they're dealing with the most significant issues of their life. And I have the sense of significance of knowing that I'm contributing. And people give me all this tremendous feedback. How could I not love it? And to know that there are very few people in the world that can do what I do. Not again because I'm a genius, just because this is my skill set. This is what I focused on for years. So I have skills in this area, few humans have. And that's pretty exciting. It feels very unique to be able to do that. Connection and love, the whole seminar is connection and love. I get all this love, but the people also give love. From me, from each other. Growth, we're growing like crazy, and we're contributing to each other like crazy. How could I not be driven? How could I not love what I do? Do you get it? Boy, if you just find a few vehicles, a few of them to meet all your needs, you cannot believe. You won't have to motivate yourself. You won't have to get yourself going out there. You won't have to get yourself, give you a little push, listen to your little pump-up tapes. You listen to your tapes to get educated. Listen to tapes maybe to get entertained, maybe to remind yourself of the issues. But you'll know what to do because the drive will be inside of you. And you know what? You already have this in some areas of your life. Think about it. Where is there an area of your life where there's something you love to do that for you is effortless? I virtually guarantee you that a minimum of 4 of these 6 human needs are met by that activity, and probably all 6. Now, I got another question for you. What's something you hate to do? By the way, before you go to that, think of something you love to do and ask yourself on a scale from 0 to 10, how fulfilled am I by that in terms of how much certainty do I feel? When I think about doing that, how much certainty do I have that I'll have pleasure doing that activity? How much certainty do I have that I'll enjoy it, that I'll have comfort at least, that I'll at least be able to avoid pain? And then go to variety. How much uncertainty, how much variety on a scale from 0 to 10 will I have by participating? How much is different? You know, how much of this would make me feel a sense of significance or uniqueness or feeling needed? And how much of this will give me these feelings of connection and love? How much of this will give me growth on a 0 to 10 scale, contribution? And again, if it's something you love to do, I promise you, under your current strategy for perceiving things, appreciating them, noticing them, under your current strategy for doing things, you feel fulfilled in all 6 categories. So now think of something you hate to do. Something you absolutely hate to do. What's something you try to avoid doing if you possibly can? Now some people say, well, there's nothing I hate. Well, what's something you would prefer someone else did? Think about it. And some people say, well, cleaning my house. On a scale from 0 to 10, what's your level of certainty it'll give you pleasure or comfort? -2. It's a waste of time. I hate it. Right? It's just a waste. Makes me uncomfortable because I'm wasting time on other things I could be doing that are more important to me. What's this, your sense of variety in cleaning your house on a scale from 0 to 10? -2. There's no variety in cleaning. That's the same house, the same crap. It's in the same place. You know, it's boring. You know, what's your sense of significance cleaning your house? Significance? There's no significance. Well, 0. You know, connection of love, 0. Growth, 0. Contribution, 0. It's not too hard to figure out. But do you know something? There are people, men and women, that if I ask in a room, who here loves to clean their house? I get a couple of people that raise their hand and say they love to clean their house. And you know what? We all want to hire them. Right? Ask somebody, say, and I do this in seminars, I'll say, who here loves to clean their house? I mean, you don't have to motivate yourself. You're just driven to clean your house. And invariably, I'll get a couple of hands, and everybody else stares at them like they're Martians or something, right? And I'll say, tell me, ma'am, do you have a sense of certainty that you're going to pleasure when you clean your house on a 0 to 10 scale? She said, absolutely. She goes, you know what? When everything else in my life is so stirred up, I go clean my house. She goes, I feel like I got control over it. I feel good about things. I feel happy. You know, it's part of it is I have time for myself. And I know I do a good job, and I'm certain I can do a good job, and I can complete it and get it done. Do you have a sense of variety from cleaning the house? And this lady says, well, of course I do. Well, what's the variety? She goes, well, every day you go, you don't know what you're going to find. Your kids put something new down. There's always something new in different places and different ways. And, you know, you got to wash different things. And there are different colors. And plus, I often listen to your tapes, you know, so I'm hearing something different. I'm learning something while I'm cleaning. I said, you don't get significance from cleaning, do you? She goes, well, yes, I do, because I do a darn good job. I do a better job than anybody, and I know how to get the whitest whites. And they go on and on about this. And they'll say, I get a level 10 of significance from cleaning my house. How about connection to love? You don't get connection to love from cleaning. Yes, I do, because when I'm ironing, I pray for my children. I feel connected to them. Like, wow, I never stopped to think about that when I'm cleaning the house. What if I did? Maybe I'd be more fulfilled. You see, if you had a different strategy, you could do something that once was boring and feel very fulfilled by it. That's where modeling comes in. How about growth? You really grow? She goes, yes, because I listen to tapes. I think about different ideas. I ask myself questions. Plus, I solve new problems in the house, new challenges. Of course, I'm growing. 10. Contribution goes 10. Nobody else will do it. I'm contributing. That also, by the way, makes me unique because no one else will do it. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Interesting.